We saw how urgent God's is pleading with his people. His very urgent pleading with his people. He's pleading with his people. It's almost like God is begging his people, turn, amen. Come, let us reason together. One really has to understand what is in God's heart. If we see the whole condition, how fallen it is, and God has a very urgent pleading. He's really his plea to his people, yet they did not hear him. And here we read, I believe the saints can also empathize with God. He's desperate. There's a desperation there. Why? I raised up my children and I brought them up, and yet they became like such people. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now we come to chapter 2. Again, it's an insert. Later on, we'll see it even more clearly. Even in his strong words, in his complaint, God still wants to say something positive so that we would not lose the view of God's purpose. It's so quick to see the high vision. It's so easy for us to lose this high vision of God's purpose before our eyes. Oftentimes we just see the negative things and we forget the positive part, what God wants. That's why we also see through the book of Isaiah, in God's wisdom, over and over again, God shows a view of what God would want. Otherwise, we'll all be frustrated and we'll throw everything out the window and we don't go on with him anymore. And that's why it's so important that also here in this passage, once again, there's an insert. Let's read it together. Verse 2 and then verse 5. We should not lose the heavenly vision. And many have experienced this in the past, but because of some terrible situations, they threw everything out. It's very unfortunate. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Amen. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Amen. This is a healing word, isn't it so? This makes us healthy. When we once again see such a vision. Because all these terrible occurrences, the sin, the unrighteousness, and all the nonsensical things that the people did. It really damages the people so much. So we see that the Lord has to show us this glorious future, the hope of glory, which is the working of the Lord and the coming of His kingdom in spite of it all. In spite of all difficulties, God would never change His plan. He would never give up. And a remnant of His people will remain faithful. Not all of them. Isaiah stresses the remnant, the small remnant. And this remnant has to see the coming kingdom. We cannot just look at all the negative things and then in the end we all fall apart. But over and over again, we have to see the glorious vision of the Lord so that we do not lose sight of this vision and that we'll always be reminded of what God, for what God has called us for. Because many have just thrown everything overboard. Because they saw so many ridiculous things, nonsensical things. They threw everything out the window. And they don't want to have any part of it anymore. They were stumbled or offended. That's why Isaiah oftentimes give us a wonderful view over and over again so that we would not be totally distracted. Not say, oh, this is not nonsense. This is all nonsense. I'll just let everything go. Lord Jesus, this is a matter of experience. Otherwise, we will not understand why suddenly the Lord would speak, mention a couple of verses here and there. Because it is so important for us to always have this wonderful purpose of God before our eyes. Praise the Lord. We are awaiting His return, no matter what kind of confusion there is today, how dark it is. Hold on to what we have seen. We have to hold fast. If we do not hold fast to what we have seen, then it would be a damage to ourselves. I can truly testify to you, if I did not have this vision before my eyes, I would have given up long time ago. Really so. I'd rather than go into the world and do something. I don't know what. But it is this wonderful, glorious vision. That is why you gave yourselves fully for this wonderful purpose of God. Right? Did you not see something? Praise the Lord. But not just one time, but we have to see it over and over again to be so certain in our hearts that we're going the right way. If not, if it's not solid in our hearts, then comes a little bit shaking and then it's away from your heart. This happens very quickly. This happens very quickly. And here we see how the Lord would really fulfill His purpose in the coming millennial kingdom. This wonderful blessing. Once again, Zion will be at its, at the top of the mountain. No, it shall come to pass, not today. No, sorry, it's not today, but in the latter days. It says the Lord is coming soon.
Be patient.
Be patient. It's coming. But at the very end, the end of days, when our wonderful Lord, the King of Kings and our Lord of Lords, come back again. That the mountain of thy Lord's house shall be established at the top of the mountain. Praise the Lord. That's why today we're still so strong for Zion. Many people say that those people, we don't want the church anymore. No, we don't want such a church like theirs. The Lord doesn't want such a church either. Not only we don't want such, because the Lord doesn't want it to be like such. If the Lord does no longer recognizes it and the Lord doesn't want it anymore, we also say goodbye to it. Do not be so nice and be so naive and just stay there and try to heal it and to change it. You are not the doctor. You cannot do anything. None of us is able to heal that situation. Even the heavenly physician has given it up. What else do you want to do? It's only then that all the nations shall flow to it. Not today, unfortunately. But his people still didn't want it. Isn't that terrible? That the nations do not want it today, that I can understand. But that we are people of God, we don't want it. It's really a sad thing. And in that day, the nations shall come. Come and let us go to the mountain of the Lord. Many people shall come and say that. Actually, as the people of God today, we should be saying this. But the Lord has to call again in verse 5, O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. It should be normal for us today to be walking in the light of the Lord. Or is it not the case? We talk about life and yet we walk in darkness. Just like 1 John chapter 1, there John said, God is light. But if we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not do the truth. We say we want to have fellowship and we don't walk in the light. There's no fellowship. Then John cannot be nice to say. He had to say, you lie. And the truth is not in you. Do you dare to say that? Do you think the Christians today, the believers, do not lie? Lord, amen. Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. When the millennial kingdom come, they say, let's go to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. Today, many Christians are not coachable. You cannot teach them. If you want to tell them the truth, you lose your head. You'd be thrown out. In those days, all those who wanted to follow the Lord were thrown out of the temple. Unteachable. Hardened. They no longer have an ear to hear. For out of Zion shall go forth grace. No? What does the word say here? For out of Zion shall go forth the law. The law, for us, the law is not just the Ten Commandments. The law is the speaking of the word of the Lord. It's the entire word. We have to walk according to the word. But now in the new covenant, the word brings us spirit, life, truth, and light. And the spirit of the Lord dwells in us, not just so that we can have life, 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 and enjoyment, and enjoyment, and enjoyment. No, no, no. Oh, grace, grace, grace. No, but that we would walk in the light. It's not theology. That's why do not be a theologian. We do not need any theology. We need such people who love the Lord and who obeys him and walks according to his light. Each of us has to do this.
Amen.
Lord Jesus. Not just the law would go out of Zion, but the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. If the Lord no longer speaks to us today, it's not good news. Just like at the time of Eli, before Samuel started to serve, the word of the Lord was so rare that people did not hear anymore. And he shall judge between the nations. Praise the Lord. This is important. We say when the kingdom comes, we will reign with him together, right? How do you reign? By your judging righteously. Otherwise, everyone can do as he pleases. Then the Lord doesn't need to come back anymore. Today, the situation is already like this. Everybody does as he pleases. The liberals can do whatever they please, and no one can say anything to them. If you say something, they say that you are what? You're not tolerant. You're a racist.
Intolerant.
And we shut up and let them do whatever they please. Do you think Zion would be like that? If somebody does something wrong, you're not allowed to say anything. And somebody does something nonsensical, be fleshly, do not say anything. Be tolerant. And in the end, what's going to happen to Zion? It'll become like Sodom and Gomorrah. You say, we are Zion, the Lord says. No, Sodom. Who's right? Whom would you hear? Which verdict is right?
Amen.
And he would rebuke many people.
Yeah.
And they shall beat the swords into plowshares and the spears into pruning hooks, and nation shall not lift up sword against nation. Neither shall they learn war anymore. This is a condition of a coming kingdom. Actually, this has to be our reality today in Zion. Righteousness and peace always go together. If there's no righteousness anymore, then there'll be no peace anymore. You want to have peace without righteousness? It doesn't work that way. If everyone can do as he pleases, how can there be peace? I can walk into your house and take something from you and say, oh, that's mine. Do you think we're going to have peace with one another? I am a guest at the Vitmus, and I'll take everything and do as I please, and in the end, when he comes back, there's nothing left in the house. Do you think he will have peace with me? He'll call the police. Neither shall they learn war anymore. Who is making war today? I heard some people say, oh, I'm afraid of war, and they make war themselves. I don't understand it anymore. Oh, house of Jacob, come. And let us walk in the light of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, if we say that we're Zion today, the mountain of the Lord, Zion is the city of the great King. He reigns, he rules in Zion. His throne is in Zion. And in Zion is the scepter of the Lord. His scepter is the scepter of righteousness. Our high priest today is according to the order of Melchizedek. And Melchizedek means the king of righteousness and the king of Salem. King of peace. We say we have such a high priest, but we are unrighteous. And we fight with one another, and then we divide among ourselves. And we do such things, and we say that we have such a high priest. Do you think the Lord would say amen to that? It doesn't work that way. Praise the Lord. The church. The local church is not our name. But Zion is our name. Jerusalem, the city of peace, that is the name. And today in the new covenant, this city, this wonderful city is not earthly, but because the earthly Jerusalem did not work. And now today it's a heavenly Jerusalem, not old, but new. It's a city of the living God, not the church of the elders. It does not belong to us. It depends who is sitting on the throne there. Zion, praise the Lord. May the Lord open our eyes to keep this vision in our hearts. Otherwise, in the end, we would also leave Zion. The Lord has to show this before our eyes. Then we can go on to the day of the Lord. Now, the word of the Lord becomes more serious. It becomes more terrible. Now comes the day of the Lord. The warning of the coming of the Lord. The terror of his judgment. You see? Oh Lord.
Oh Lord.
And but before this, the Lord wants us to give us the assurance. Hold fast to Zion.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. In verse 6, Isaiah said, "For you have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob." Do you think God won't do that? The dear God, the loving God can't do such a thing. God is love. How can such a loving God forsake his people? What do you think? Is it not possible? Then he's no longer the loving God. Then he is a bad God. No. He is a righteous God. He is a righteous God. Praise the Lord. Because they are filled with eastern ways. They do everything that the world is also doing. Many people did not understand that. Why did God tell the people of Israel not just chase away the other nations, but slaughter them? Why? Had they not done this, in the end, the people of Israel would do exactly like the ways of the nations, and they would be idolatrous like the nations. And in fact, it did happen like that. The people of Israel were more idolatrous than the nations. They even sacrificed their own children to demons and shed innocent blood. We cannot imagine this. It is because they took on all the customs and practices of the nations. It is not easy for them to influence the nations, but it's much easier for the influence of the nations to come to us. And they became sorcerers, the soothsayers, like the Philistines. And they're pleased with the children of foreigners. That's why Paul said, be not to be equally yoked with unbelievers. Really so? If you would put a donkey with an ox under the same yoke and let them work on the field, do you think it's going to work? In the end, the line that they plow would be all crooked. It doesn't work that way. Yes, Lord Jesus. Their land is also full of silver and gold. They became worldly. Now they gather silver and gold. And in the end, out of the silver and gold, they made their idols. And there's no end to their treasures. That's why it's better not to have a beautiful meeting hall. Really so. In the end, we'll be building the Vatican. Oh Lord, we don't gather our treasures here on this earth. The land is also full of horses, and there's no end to their chariots. They are for war. In the end, they make war. There's fighting and strife. The land is also full of idols. Oh Lord, they worship the work of their own hands. that which their own fingers have made. It's all man's work. They no longer do God's work, but they're doing what man's hands can make. And you read very clearly in Hebrews chapter 8, the heavenly Jerusalem is not built by man's hands, not built by man. Now, Isaiah said this too. Like God who created heaven and earth does not dwell in a temple built by man's hands. Or? We're all too capable. We can do too many things with our hands. But what we can do will not be accepted by God. And eventually, I'd like to warn you, just as Isaiah has warned us here, everything that is made through your hands would become your idol. You would be worshiping that. Oh, look at this. What a beautiful thing that I've made it. Look how capable I am. All this were made by me. David also said this in a foolish way once upon a time. What can we do? I am responsible for the whole church here. Oh yes, you're responsible. Congratulations. Who is capable? Who is responsible for the church if it's not Christ, who is the head over all, appointed by God? Some people say, oh, God appointed us. Oh, Lord. The Pope also said that. Isn't that right? He's a representative of God. He's the representative. God's representative.
Oh,
Lord.
Da beugt sich der Mensch vor Götzen, da erniedrigt sich der Mann.
People bow down and each man humbles himself.
Und dann sagte Jesaja,
and then Isaiah said, therefore do not forgive them. Eventually, Isaiah couldn't say that you're full of forgiveness. He even said, therefore, do not forgive them. Do you dare to say that? Dear brothers and sisters, if we go too far, even God cannot forgive us anymore. Don't go too far. Don't just think that God would tolerate everything. No. God is not like man. No. Isaiah said, therefore, do not forgive them. Even Isaiah himself was fully convinced. Now, Isaiah could understand why God forsook his people. Then comes verse 10. Enter into the rock and hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord. When we are in such a condition, eventually, there's nothing left except a terror without end. It's a long terror that's awaiting us. And Paul said, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, concerning the judgment seat of the Lord, he said, since we all know of the terror of the Lord, that knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, the translators did not dare. In the German Bible, they say the fear of the Lord. They didn't dare to use the word the terror of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:11. Where did Paul learn concerning such a term, the terror of the Lord, if it's not from Isaiah? Are we not? We say, the Lord is not coming for a long time. and we're all going to heaven. So why tell me about the terror? Don't talk to me about it. Even Paul had in him the terror of the Lord. And we not? Several times he mentioned the terror of the Lord, at least three times. Here it says, enter into the rock and hide in the dust. We also see in Revelation chapter 6, by the sixth seal, in chapter 6. It's not hard to remember. In chapter 6 of Revelation, at the sixth seal, it's just one more six that's missing. The people would hide themselves in the caves and the rocks of the mountains. That's the terror. Really so. If people no longer have fear, then they're capable to do anything. They do just anything. From the terror of the Lord and the glory of His majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled. Do you still remember in Proverbs 6 what God hates? There are seven things that God hates. And perhaps you don't think that God can hate also. What's the first point, brother? A proud look. A proud look. Proverbs 6:17. Fortunately, I have small eyes. I can't see much. That's an advantage to have small eyes, so people don't see anything. Don't think that the little eyes will not become proud as well. We all have the sickness in us. Really so. I don't know if bigger eyes would get a more serious sickness. It's all the same because it lies deep in our heart. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled. The haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. How are the elders? Oh, please. Elders. What are elders? The haughtiness of men. And what's terrible about it is that we make ourselves look so humble. And yet so haughty inwardly. The haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Verse 12, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low. It's better that we learn to be lowered today and do not wait until that day. What do we have in ourselves that we can be proud of? Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, is there anything that you have that you have not received? We all received from him. Why should we be proud? Even the word that we speak, is it from you? Are you the author? It's the word of God. If we don't have this book, then we don't have any message at all. What kind of a conference should we have here? That's how it is. The day of the Lord is full of terror. If we have not learned today, then the judgment will come, and the day of the Lord will come. And when this day comes, there's no place for you to hide. There's no place at all. There's no hole that's deep enough. The angel can pull you out from your hole and put you place you right before the judgment seat. There's no hiding place. Then we have to be smart today. Not be proud, but say to the Lord, I'd rather be dealt with by you today and even be operated on by you. It's not pleasant, right? To be on the surgery table, to be lying on the table, to be cut up. That's not a pleasant experience. Of course, there's anesthesia today, and then you won't feel anything. But I don't think that the Lord gives you anesthesia. It's the judgment. In judgment, there's no anesthesia. Right? But today, there's people, human rights. It's terrible. Everyone does what he pleases. Upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, upon every high tower, and upon every fortified wall. My goodness. The Lord has a long list here. Above, upon everything that's so high. Would you like to be high? Are we of this and we are that? Oh, we've done all these things. I like to say it once again to you. The Lord hates that. That's ugly. It's not only ugly, but that is all. It also destroys everything. It's the worst sickness of the Satan. He wants to be so high as God. He also told Eve that God is afraid that if you eat of this tree, you will be like God. And that's why, brothers and sisters, we all need to take the medicine. These words are medicine for us. It's healing word. It heals us. Why do you have problems with such certain people? Because they think they are right, and you don't, you are not, and you have to do this and that, and you use them and receive letters. Even somewhere in a foreign country, they want to send you a letter to Neuchâtel and want to correct you. These are all appearance, signs of sicknesses. You have to write back to this brother and say, I'm sorry, Isaiah, the book of Isaiah says you are sick. You have to go to the doctor. Or you're too nice to write that. Then I'll write the letter for you. If you write a nice letter, there's no result. Write a letter full of truth. Hey, you're sick. Please go to the doctor. Otherwise, there's no salvation left. Lord Jesus, You know, these words are really for our healing, full of healing. Because we have all these germs in our being.
Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day, verse 17. Why do we want to wait until that day? Why don't we want the Lord to be exalted and have the preeminence among us today already? Personally, in your heart, and together in your house, it is His house. And in His house, we're all slaves and servants, and He should have the highest place, or not. Lord, heal us. We need your healing. The idols He shall utterly abolish. Oh Lord, already today. This must happen with us today already. Otherwise, there comes a terror. They shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth from the terror of the Lord and the glory of His majesty when He arises to shake the earth mightily, not to save, but to shake and to terrorize the earth. I have no words to describe this. I think this is already good enough. It is terrible enough. We cannot make His terror even more terrible. I have no words to describe that. In that day. How many times does He have to repeat that? Do you really want to wait until that day? In that day, a man will cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold. You see, if you collect too much of that, the more you have of that, the more idols you would have, which they made, each for himself, to worship to the moles and bats. Now you know why there are bats and moles. To go into the clefts of the rock and to the cracks of the rock, rugged rocks. From the terror of the Lord and the glory of His majesty. How many times does He have to repeat it so that we will really grasp it? And the glory of His majesty when He arises to shake the earth mightily, to terrify the earth. Now let us not fear man. Sever yourselves from such a man. That means do not fear man. Do not fear the elders that have become such princes or rulers. People are afraid of men. We want to please men. For what and why? Whom would you rather fear? For man? Hopefully. Fear the Lord. We all have to learn this. Why should we fear man? Did the Lord not also warn us from whom we should fear? Not from man that can kill your physical body, but after that they can do nothing. But you should fear him who can also throw you into the lake of fire after you die, and there'll be a second death, and that it'll be worse than the first death. Okay? I don't understand why people, especially the believers, are so afraid of the Pope. Or certain priests somewhere. You even have to pay money so that the dead, your relatives, your grandfather will not remain in purgatory for so long. My goodness. Are you afraid to be thrown out? I have to tell you, as long as the Lord receives you, you even have to be thankful that you are thrown out of such a place. That's why in the end it says, sever yourselves from such a man. That means do not fear man, whose breath is in his nostrils. How much is the air, is the breath worth? If the breath is gone, everything is over. Man is just a breath. For of what account is he? Why do we honor men and revere them?
Why?
I do not know why. We should all have fear or be afraid of the terror of the Lord. And we should have no fear of man, even negative fear. Negative fear means that you speak the truth to them. Do not fear them at all. Paul said, if I seek to please man, then I am not a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. We serve God, not man. That's why we need not to have any fear of man. It doesn't mean that we do not respect man, but whatever black is black and what white is white. In Zion, in the house of the Lord, we have no such practice of the works of the Nicolaitans. And these works of the Nicolaitans is what the Lord hates. We have to see, because the Lord spoke it so clearly. The Lord has saved us today. He alone has to be honored among us. One alone is your master, and you are all brothers. It can't be said more clearly than what the Lord said himself. Now we'll close the meeting Amen. Here. Amen. I hope the Lord would heal us. Amen. Praise the Lord.